Good morning, and welcome to the New Life broadcast brought to you by the Emmanuel Baptist Church. We hope you'll listen in every Sunday at 9:30 on 93R. Emmanuel is located at 1710 23rd Street near the City Park in Parkersburg. If you have a question or desire more information, call us at 304-485-5171. Our website is www.ebcwv.com.
Years ago, a story that I've told many times since I've been here, but which comes to mind again. Every year, I was a youth pastor in Massachusetts, and every year we would go hiking into the White Mountains of New Hampshire with a hiking travel group. They guided us in. We would camp out. We'd hike into the base of the mountain, spend the night, and then we'd climb up to this overpass that had about a 70-foot sheer rock face straight down. They had the really strong climber's ropes. You had someone that was on the top of the rock, and they had that rope around them. You put on a leather harness with belay equipment on. You put the incredibly strong climber's rope through the metal belay, and then you had to rappel down. So with the harness, with the rope, and with the person had it around them, so they only let as much rope out as to keep it safe. It's all safe, it's all clear, and the kids were just jumping off like no big deal. But when I finally came up to the edge, I got my harness on, I got the rope. There comes this point where you have to lean. You have to lean back. It's like that trust fall. If you've been in groups, you have to lean back. And you're looking down about 100, 150 feet below, straight below you. And you're leaning back, and you have to trust the rope. You have to trust the person. And even though there's a lot of things that make it like, okay, this is going to work, there's still a faith element in leaning back and trusting that someone is going to hold you and that you're going to be able to make it down. That image came to mind as I was thinking about Mary, because Mary had to basically lean back into the plan that the angel shared with her. And I think it's a good image. Sometimes we have to lean back, not knowing exactly how it's going to work, and overcome the fear that we have. So let's look at a very familiar passage, which we'll read again on Christmas Eve, but I'm going to read it now. Luke 1, verse 26. And we learn first that Mary surrendered that first Christmas. Luke 1, 26-38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus, for he will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give you the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the Holy One to be born will be called Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. And then if you read on about the shepherds in Luke 2, and at the end, after the shepherds left, it says, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." So the first thing I want us to think about today is that Mary surrendered. "I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled in me." Mary surrendered her life and her will to God. Now, she knew that people would talk. Either she had slept Joseph before they were fully married, or she had been with someone else, and she knew that people would always see her as immoral and Jesus as illegitimate. Still, she said yes. Mary surrendered, even when she didn't understand everything. She was trying to make sense of it all. She had questions, but she still surrendered. In fact, it says she was greatly troubled, but she surrendered. Mary had questions, but she surrendered. In fact, if you wait until... you can take... I'm not quite to that slide yet. You can take that one back off. If you wait until you have everything figured out, you'll never do some really big things in your life. For example, you'll never get married if you wait until you get it and wait until you have it all figured out, because you'll never have the final word on that. You're always wading into something that you don't fully understand. And beyond that, you'll never have children if you wait until you have enough money or until it's all figured out. There are so many good things in life that depend on leaning back, stepping out in faith, and surrendering your life. I thought about Mary and Abraham. God came to Abraham and said, "Go to the land that I'll show you." And Abraham left, not knowing where he was going to go. And so, like Abraham, Mary didn't know where she was going, but the angel said, "God has a plan for you." So Abraham went, not knowing where he was going. Mary surrendered, not knowing how it would work. No doubt she dreamed of a simple life, marrying Joseph, having kids, settling down. But the angel comes to her and says, "God's got a new dream for you." Mary is like anyone who wants to be a Christian. You have to do the same thing that Mary and Abraham did. God calls you, and you surrender. Becoming a Christian is not like signing up for a gym to get healthy or setting goals for a better you. Being a Christian means that you surrender to what God has for your life. The other image that came to mind this week is the idea of a sail and wind. When I was growing up, I had a good friend named Spencer, and his parents had a sailboat. And I remember late elementary, might have been 6th, 7th grade, we went out on their sailboat, and I just remember being in awe of how the sails were amazing, how that little boat was shooting across the lake. Just as they put the sails just right. And then I think of what Jesus said, that the wind, the one born of the Spirit, it's like the wind. It blows in from this place and it goes to this place, and you don't know from where it has come or where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So another way to think about surrender is to open your life up to the wind of the Spirit and say, "God, move me where you need to move me. Do what you need to do in me, and let God do what he needs to do." Now, the next slide there, surrender means a loss of control. And as I've been reflecting on COVID and people in church or not in church, one thing has come to me that just a stupid observation that I throw out there. It never occurred to me that every time you enter a room in person, you are surrendering control of that time. You have put yourself in a space where it's kind of awkward just to get up. You can, all of you can get up and leave any moment, but you have moved into a space and you have given up your control for something greater, to be with others and to lift your eyes up to worship. And it never occurred to me what a commitment it is. And the fact that you lose control just by being in here, which is why a lot of people, I think, have pulled back and said, I'll kind of catch the service online. And that's, many people need that because of health, and some people need that because it's just convenient. But there is something powerful, is there not, in entering into a common space with others and giving up control in order to be a part of something bigger. I'll always say that. Being here means something. Tomorrow, I'm going to lay down on a hospital bed, and they're going to put a pad on me, which will shoot sound waves into my back to try to pulverize a kidney stone. It's called lithotripsy, and I'll be asleep while they're doing it. But I'm going to trust that they're going to direct those sound waves exactly where they need to go and not anywhere else. And so I'm going to lay back, relinquish control, because they're going to put me out, and then I'm going to pray in advance that they actually blow up the kidney stone, which they say is about to drop, and I'll be on my knees when it does. But we, in surrendering, we lose control. I think of Jesus in the garden the night before he was crucified. He went there to pray. He was sorrowful. He was troubled. He said, "Father, if it's possible, this cup be taken away, yet not as I will. May your will be done." That's essentially what Mary was saying. She was surrendering to God and the angel's message and saying, "Not my will, but your will be done." And that's one of the most powerful messages of Christmas. The Christian faith requires a surrendered faith. We struggle, we're troubled, we ask our questions, and yet we're able to sing that song, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all." So Mary surrendered. Second thing she did is that Mary was still. It says she wondered about these things. She treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the phrase that I get here is Mary reflected while everyone else was running. Mary was still while everyone around her was moving. You know, when we think about Christmas, you think about Joseph moving his family from Nazareth to Galilee and then finally to Egypt. You think of the shepherds running from the fields to see the baby. The wise men are traveling from the east to follow a star to find the child. And after the shepherds left, it said Mary treasured up these things and pondered them. While everyone was running, Mary was reflecting. Like David says in Psalm 131, "I have calmed and quieted my soul." There was a Daily Bread devotion, "Appetite for Distraction." It was earlier this week. Let me just read this to you. "I set my phone down, weary of the constant bombardment of images, ideas, and notifications that the little screen broadcasted. And then I picked it up again and turned it on. Why? In his book, The Shallows, Nicholas Carr describes how the internet has shaped our relationship with stillness. What the net seems to be doing is chipping away at my capacity for concentration and contemplation. Whether I'm online or not, my mind now expects to take in information the way the net distributes it, in a swiftly moving stream of particles. Once I was a scuba diver in the sea of words. Now I zip along the surface like a guy on a jet ski. Living life on a mental jet ski doesn't sound healthy. But how do we begin to slow down, to dive deeply into the still spiritual waters? David in Psalm 131 says, I have calmed and quieted myself. Changing habits starts with my choice to be still, even if I must make that choice over and over again. Slowly, though, we experience God's satisfying goodness. Like a little child, we rest in contentment, remembering that he alone offers hope, soul satisfaction that no smartphone app can touch, and no social media site can deliver." Ah, I think there's something in there for us. And so Mary cherished the moment, and it reminds me of Mona with the grandkids. When Mona's with Livy or with Connor, she enters another world. She starts talking funny. She starts playing. She starts reading. She just kind of dives in, and there is this immediate connection, and I mean, I'm kind of watching it in awe because she just literally just dives into their world, and she's in their play areas, and suddenly they're baking a cake for a king, and suddenly they're in a castle, or they're in a forest, and as a princess, they're lost, and they need someone to find them. I don't know what it is, but she just dives in, and she is part of their world, and I'm on the couch watching football. Now, if the kids want to come over and join me and sit on my lap and have some of my snacks and whatever I'm drinking, I'm fine with that. But it occurred to me that Joseph must have observed Mary in a very similar way. That as a man, I'm thinking he's thinking about getting water and food and maybe a blanket or something. But Mary just kind of, I think she dove into that. She was in the moment. She treasured the time. She pondered every moment. So this Christmas, let's cherish the time, treasure the season, and ponder the meaning. I think there's a slide to this effect. Yeah, it made me think of Elizabeth Barrett Browning's poem. She lived from 1806 to 1861. About 1845, she wrote this epic poem called The Aurora Leigh. And in the midst of that poem are the verses that I've quoted many, many times. Earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest just sit around it and eat blackberries. Earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush is afire with God. But only he who sees kind of pulls back in awe and wonder. The rest are just picking blackberries and enjoying the goodness without thinking about God. So Mary saw all heaven crammed in a baby, and she drank it in, and she basked in the wonder of it all. As Christine Rossetti says, in the bleak midwinter, oh, but only Mary, in her maiden bliss, worships the beloved with a mother's kiss. And so Silent Night, I don't know why, but I landed on Silent Night just for a moment, and I started to think, because we were singing it up at the Colonial House together, and I think I have the words to that on a slide. Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Wait a minute. The first Christmas was not calm, and it would not normally have been bright. And so think with me. The first Christmas was preceded by sleepless nights. Mary and Joseph had to travel 90 miles, 70 miles from as the crow flies, but another 20 around different hills. She's 9 months pregnant. The journey would have taken 4 to 5 days in hilly terrain. There's no room at the inn. They find a stable or a cave or a tent. She delivers the baby with no family, no midwife to help her. She's exhausted. Then the shepherds show up and she has to host them. I mean, this is a nightmare. I mean, you've had a baby in another place, and the shepherds show up, and they're excited, but wait a minute, I didn't really prepare for you. She's alone, and then Joseph is out looking for food, water, blanket. There's no electricity, so how is it bright? Jesus came from the glory of heaven, and what I imagine is that he still shines with the glory from which he came, and Mary holds Jesus, singing a lullaby, and falls asleep. Jesus shines with the glory that he had in heaven. And so I imagine Mary sleeping in heavenly peace just from sheer exhaustion. And I picture her in my mind quoting to herself Isaiah 46. God, you're my refuge, you're my strength. I will be still and know that you are God. And interestingly, Jesus would grow up and say the words, come to me, all of you that are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So, final thought, and that is that I think surrender and stillness kind of have work together. I think as we surrender, we become still before God and begin to listen, and as we become still before God and listen, we're more able to surrender. And so the two kind of work together. And so is there room in your heart? Let me read to you from the song that we sang. A mother holds the promise tight. Every wrong will be made right. The road is straight, the burden light, for in his hands he holds tomorrow. Is there room in your heart for God to write his story? You can come as you are, but it may set you apart when you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for his glory. Make room in your heart. Mary was special because she surrendered everything to God, and because she was still and in the moment and treasured it up and pondered it and wondered about it.
A family hiding from the storm found no place at the keeper's door. It was for this a child was born, to save a world so cold and hollow. A sleeping town they did not know, that lying in a manger low, a savior king who had no home has come to heal our sorrow. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write His story. Shepherds counting sheep at night, do not fear the glory light. You are precious in His sight. God has come to raise the lowly. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write His story? You can come as you are. It may set you apart when you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for His glory. Make room in your heart. Make room in your heart. Promise tight, every wrong will be made right. The road is straight, the burden's light, for in His hands He holds tomorrow. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room your heart for God to write His story? You can come as you are, but it may set you apart when you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for His glory. Make room in your heart. Make room in your heart. Make room in your heart.
Love incarnate, love divine. Star and angels gave the sign. Bow to babe on bended knee, the Savior of humanity. Unto us a child is born, He shall reign forevermore. No. Son of God and Son of Man,
I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Thank you for listening to the New Life broadcast brought to you by the Emmanuel Baptist Church. Emmanuel is located at 1710 23rd Street near the City Park in Parkersburg, West Virginia. Our website is www.ebcwv.com. I'm Pastor Kurt Busick. We leave you with this important word from the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God bless you and have a great Sunday.